Where did the job creation go? We'll explore reasons why today's jobs report was so weak. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news this morning that the U.S. added just 38,000 people to payrolls in May. That's less than a quarter of what was expected and the weakest in 6 years. And although wages rose, the labor force shrank, meaning nearly 500,000 people stopped looking for work, suggesting we can't take much solace in the unemployment rate moving down today to 4.7%. Let's go right to Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, David.
What happened here, you think?
Well, the economy slowed pretty dramatically in the first quarter. When the economy slows, we tend to see employment growth slow as well. And boy, did that happen in spades. We not only had a very weak rise in employment in May, it was up just 38,000. And on top of that, big downward revisions to March and April, a deteriorating trend.
Yeah, and some will look at the parallel survey, the unemployment rate, and say, well, at least it's down to 4.7%. But the thing is what? The labor force is smaller. It's a smaller percentage of what? A smaller pie, I guess.
If you dig a little bit deeper there, the unemployment rate, which is 4.7%, is just one way that we measure unemployment. There are other ways. One, which we call the underemployment rate, includes, for example, people who are working part-time because they can't find full-time work. There was actually a really big increase in those part-time workers in May, and as a result, the underemployment rate didn't move at all. Even though the headline rate dropped 0.3, underemployment was stuck at 9.7%.
Do you think the Federal Reserve looks at this and says, we can't raise interest rates in a couple of weeks, not with this?
I think that's exactly what they'll conclude. The good news is that employment sometimes lags, but the evidence of a rebound in the second quarter is pretty thin. You know, essentially all we know is that consumption was strong in April. Given that there is this really rapidly deteriorating trend in hiring, given that hiring weakness is consistent with what is now 18 months of weakening corporate profits, and then finally, given the fact that the Fed is nervous about the Brexit referendum, which is just 9 days after the Fed meeting, I think what they'll decide is that, yes, they're a little bit confident, at least in a rebound, but they need to wait for more evidence that the rebound is actually taking place. And they'll elect to pass on a rate hike at the June meeting.
At the June meeting. All right. Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
We heard tales this morning of the gut punch of surprise that moved through financial market trading floors when this weak employment report snapped on the news wires. In early trading, this is how it played out. U.S. interest rates may not go up quite as quickly, and on that bet, the benchmark interest rate, the 10-year Treasury yield, fell to 1.71%, and Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures were all down in the 0.5% to 0.75%, at least in early trading. On a typical day, as many as 25,000 short-haul trucks go in and out of the massive ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. This is not a typical day with those truck drivers on strike. They want trucking companies to classify them as employees instead of independent contractors, the latest battleground in a national workplace tug of war. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports from Los Angeles.
Fidel Gonzalez came to the U.S. from Oaxaca, Mexico. He started driving a truck 10 years ago because he thought he could make more money than he was making as a garment worker. Now he thinks the system is set up for drivers to fail.
If we work 8 hours, actually you don't make money at all. If we work in more than 8-10 hours, we can make some money, but not the money we are expecting.
If you own or lease your own truck, in theory, you can make more money than drivers who are directly employed because you get paid by the load and might be able to make a few runs a day. Maybe.
One load, I could take 2 hours to finish or maybe take a whole day. We never know. you never know what time you're going to get out of the port.
So you might spend hours waiting in line for a load, and the money from that load might not be what you thought. Nick Weiner is in charge of the Justice for Port Drivers campaign.
Out of their paycheck will come all these deductions for fuel, for insurance, for registration taxes, maintenance, you need new tires, right? All these get deducted out of your paycheck, and that's what you're left with at the end of the week.
Trucking companies argue the employee model isn't sustainable. Several have filed for bankruptcy in recent months, citing legal battles about misclassification as a major factor. Jonathan Rosenthal is general partner of Saybrook Capital in Los Angeles. He says the trucking business is merely emblematic of a larger battle over employee classification.
There are a number of industries that are being attacked for the independent contractor model, including everything from nursing to beauty parlors to, you know, the Ubers of the world.
Rosenthal says the two models can't work together in the trucking business. Truck drivers either have to be all independent contractors or all employees. And if the California Labor Commission has anything to say about it, it's probably going to be the latter. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in a way related, the biggest private employer in America is trying to get some contractors to test its grocery delivery service. Walmart is experimenting with using Uber and Lyft drivers to get supermarket stuff to people's doors. Walmart will test this in Denver and Phoenix over the next 2 weeks. And who picks your list off the shelf? Why, your personal shopper, I guess you could call them. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.